This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.
Now, this show is dope. I've never been on a show like this. This is like really like for comedy. Like, this is a stand-up comedy show.
For sure. And,
this is dope. Nobody, I done a lot of stuff. Nobody's doing what you're doing. So I salute you for that.
Dang.
And you own something. You don't even need nobody to do what you're doing. That's another tip that comedians gotta learn. Find something you can do no matter what. And that's what you're doing. You're gonna do this until you're dead and gone. You can keep doing this.
My man. Well, I appreciate you saying that, dude. That makes my heart smile. All right. Hot Breathiverse. Welcome back to Hot Breath, the show where you learn comedy from the pros. I am your host, comedian Joel Byers, and we are all here at Hot Breath on a mission to cultivate the next generation of great comics. And this guest today is without a doubt part of that generation. He started comedy at the age of 18, and only 8 years into his career, he has already gone viral on social media with his own character, Sonny Bo, that has over 10 million views, and now he is releasing a comedy special. Only 8 years in, this cat is definitely on the fast track, so we're so excited to have him here on Hot Breath. So welcome to the Hot Breathiverse, the one and only Lewis Belt, everyone. Show Lewis some love.
What's up with it?
Yeah. There's a clapping sound effect going on. We got you.
Yeah, Mamas. What's up with y'all? How y'all doing?
My man. Welcome aboard, dude. It's so cool to have you on here, especially at this point in your career. It's got to be gratifying to be feeling this like momentum, because I mean, you've been grinding, but to actually, a lot of comics, we grind with our heads down, but to actually seeing it pay off, that's got to really be gratifying.
Yeah. No, I mean the world to a standard comic, you know. I feel like I done got famous and popular for all the shit that, you know, that helps me with my stand-up, but it haven't been my stand-up.
Yeah.
You know? Because I really, you know, stand-up don't get a lot of attention. It got to be something major for people to just tune into stand-up comedy. So, you know, for it to be stand-up comedy, then this is really what I asked for, type.
Yeah, that's what's cool in seeing your other interviews is how you're very intentional about, I'm not an Instagram comic, I'm a stand-up first. Like, you're very intentional about making sure people know that you're a stand-up first.
Yeah, for real, because, you know, any stand-up comedian can relate to it, like, you know, like, doing open mics and not having a fan base and being in the Chitlin Circus from, you know, Hollywood, and even growing up and, like, you know, being in the Bay Area, starting my comedy career in Oakland in the Bay Area, just like, it's not even a comedy scene really, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't forget those days, and I'm not too far removed from that, you know. For me to practice, I still go to the open mic, I still practice in these small rooms, so, you know, that's something I really take pride in, you know.
Yeah, that's something I definitely want to get into, social media and building a following there. But I think even more valuable is being able to build a following where you are on a local level and really cultivate like a grassroots fan base that becomes your foundation. And you've done that in Oakland. Like, what kind of tips do you have for comics and whatever scene they're in? Like you said, Oakland doesn't even have really much of a scene compared to like an LA or New York. How can comics build like a local following like you have?
Cater to what's around you. So like for me, like I always took it from, you know, taking it city by city, because the Bay Area is city. You know, you got so many cities in one area. So I'm kind of like, I'm doing everything to cater to every city, but bringing it back to a foundation, and that is Oakland. So once I grabbed everybody's attention in the Bay Area, then I can expand, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, you start from the ground up, you know? So I come from the Bay Area is real big on hip hop, independence, and athletes. We got, you know, we got major athletes. So, you know, I ran with doing stuff with Mr. Fab and doing stuff with just all the hottest rappers in the Bay Area, and doing stuff with the athletes, you know, like Marshawn Lynch and, you know, Marcus Peters, and, you know, just using all my resources locally to the point where it's like, by time it grows and grows, it becomes bigger than my area type.
Well, you make it sound like you just live next door to Marshawn Lynch and you're like, hey, let's collab. How do you connect with some, how do you connect with those people in your city?
You gotta build it from the ground up. Like, you gotta make it to the point, like, you gotta become important to be important to other important people. If you see what I'm saying. So the social media platform, that helped me because my skits with Sonny Bo and myself, my character Sonny Bo, like I created like a brand and a cult of people that like my content. You know what I'm saying? So it brought awareness to people that had their own platform, and then you make it to the point where it's like once you built your own brand and your own lane, you can collab with others.
Oh, you almost have to have something to collab with before you try to collab with someone.
Yeah, people off the dribble try to come off like looking for people that's hot. It's like, no, you got to get hot first, and then people that's hot work with you, you know?
Yeah, and that's something we talked. We had Desi Banks on here talking about his first viral video was him doing like how A-Town guys sound. And he, I don't know if he, A-Town guys, I don't think he said it like that, but
Atlanta, you know,
but like, yeah, like he played into the Atlanta, like Atlanta scene in the city and kept it local. Like you do with your character, Sonny Bo, it's very Oakland that they,
exactly.
So yeah. So
the first viral video I had was how Bay Area dudes be like, you just get at a girl like this, and then I did the Sonny Bo dread, like, hey, check it out, you know, and then everybody thought it was hella funny, so I kept doing it over and over and over again. But when I was doing that, I was a stand-up comedy before I did the skit, so it was kind of like that was a break I was looking for, you know. So by the time I did the skit, more people started coming to my shows, my fan base, I knew it was working because my shows was getting bigger. And I damn near was like a Bay Area celebrity by the time me and Marshawn linked.
Okay. Yeah. See, that's where it all started with the sketch. And then you started to build a buzz from that.
Yeah. I had a big, big buzz by the time me and Marshawn did business on like on a partnership, like, you know, like a skit. That was like damn near like the peak, like on something like, I can't get no higher than this. Like, if I did it with Marshawn, then I'd have my run with Sonny Bo.
he's a legend, especially in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, it seems like comics, wherever they're based, because I mean, we have comics all over the world, like Australia, the UK, Ireland, even Lincoln, Nebraska, not to name all the big cities, but it's like almost even a comic in Lincoln, Nebraska. It's like, hey, do something locally based and really build something, doing it, do references only they get in the sketch and things like that, and just build something for your town. And that seems to be a great way to spark online momentum that you can then build on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like with anything, you know, you start with the people that's close. And, you know, once you take it by city, like I was doing stuff that was so local and I was catering so much to the Bay Area to the point where it became like it wasn't helping me at some point because people from a grand scale couldn't relate because it was so local, you know. And that's the advantage that people like a Desi Banks or DCM Flyer, whoever these people is in other cities, like they're from Atlanta. Like Atlanta is popping like they got the Migos, they got Future, they got, so if you get Atlanta attention, you're going to be bigger versus like the Bay Area. It's like, it's so far you can go. Like the Bay Area is not a place right now, or when I was doing it at the time, it wasn't like Marshawn Lynch was the only person that was really on that national scale that people can identify my character with.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, he might be acting like Marshawn Lynch, you know?
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. So then
versus
how,
if you're in the South, you know, versus if you're in the South, it's kind of like if you're acting like a down South character, all these people can relate. Memphis, North Carolina, South Carolina, you know, Florida, like a Southern accent is bigger than a Bay Area accent.
Yeah.
So I was just only Bay Area famous for like 3 years straight, like a local celebrity. Like I was Desi Banks to the Bay, you know, forever until I just expanded my my content.
Yeah, so how do you get out of that bubble?
Going against the grain. Like, I honestly had to go against the grain with my content, where it's like people was asking for me to be Sonny Bo, and the only way I had to, only way I got out of stop being Sonny Bo is I made it like Sonny Bo went to jail.
Ah.
So I kind of like, I put my character in jail, and it's like, I had so many followers to the point, it's like, all right, like, Sonny Bo in jail, so you only get to, you're tuning into Lewis Bell only now.
That's smart.
Yeah, so it's like, I made a movement, it's like, free Sonny Bo, but Sonny Bo was in jail for like 8 months to the point where people forgot about Sonny Bo.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as I stopped doing Sonny Bo, MTV reached out to me and was like, do you want to be on Are You The One? Because they thought Lewis Belt was funny.
Oh, that was very clever, man. Very savvy there.
Yeah, so I had to go against the grain. I had to deal with a lot of comments like, fuck Lewis Belt. I want to see Sonny Bo. Like, I had to swallow that and be like, you know.
Well, for a minute, even DC Young Fly got caught in this lane of roasting. And they're like, we only want to watch it if he's roasting and things like that. And he had to work himself out of that lane as well. And it's worked out, clearly.
Yeah.
And it's working out for you, too. So there's definitely something to that.
Yeah. And I felt comfortable with doing it because I always had stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like Lewis Belt is the person they always paid to see. Like, even when Sonny Bo was popping those 3 years, when I was doing shows, people coming to see Lewis Belt.
Yeah.
So it's like once I was kind of like promoting Lewis Belt and standing up the whole time, and Sonny Bo like this internet character. So yeah. It's like once I put Sonny Bo up, it's like now you're just only seeing Lewis Belt at the shows and on social media.
Yeah, a lot of us social media cats, if they find a character, they're that character, and they get stuck in it. Yeah, that's dangerous.
You're stuck. That's why I had to separate my page. Like, my social media page is Lou Do Too Much, but Sonny Bo had its own social media page, the real Sonny Bo. So it's like, you know.
That's smart.
You got to be like, I'm competing with myself at this point. It's like, Lou's Sonny Bo.
What kind of social media tips do you have for comics? That is something comics always ask, is like, oh, I want more followers. I want the heat, or I want to go viral. Like, what kind of tips do you have for comics when it comes to this social media hustle?
I feel like social media has to be super, super, super creative,
mm-hmm.
or it has to be extremely ignorant to get some attention. On social media, it's no other way. Like, you know. And I feel like the tips I would give a comic would be like, do something that everybody's not doing.
Mm.
I feel like people try to go viral with trying to follow a trend. And that only makes the person that started the trend bigger. The only way to go viral on social media is to create a trend. Create your own way and make people follow that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's important to keep creating. Like, yeah, don't put all your eggs in one basket on, oh, this is the thing, I'm spending 36 hours making this video. It's like, put out a bunch of stuff and see what sticks and start building on that momentum.
Yeah, like before I started doing Sonny Bo, I was just doing all type of videos where it's just like, I try to do a split video roasting, you know? I try to do just like ranting, like, you know, like,
yeah,
because only reason I started doing it because I started seeing it work for others. Like, I'm a stand-up comedian and I'm on stage every day and I'm watching Jess Hilarious, DC Young Fly, and they're getting just mega famous and they don't perform at the time. So it's like, I'm like, all right, let me try to do what they doing in my shit, you know? So I found my own niche from just trying so many things, you know?
Yes, keep trying. It's kind of like trying a new joke. It's like you may write 20 and only one of them you end up keeping. Same thing with content, I'd say.
Exactly. It's just like a joke. And then it's like once you find that bit where it's like, oh, people laughing at that. Keep building that bit. Keep adding mm-hmm. to it, add more to it. So, you know, social media, I found that thing and it's like I'm running with it.
Yeah, I find it, I struggle with consistency, man. Like, I like, sometimes I'm just like, what is the point? Or I'll scroll through my phone just looking at my photo album like, well, what do I even post? Like, I get caught almost in like overthinking it maybe.
Yeah, because you're thinking it from a comic standpoint. You know what I'm saying? Because a comic can't just say anything. Like, you just can't, like, comics think really hard. That's why it's hard to do stand-up comedy, because you got to know where you're going with it all the time. You feel me? Versus the internet, you don't have to be going nowhere with it. It could just be a video. Just, it's not that damn genius. It's just really like, fuck it.
Yeah.
You got to have that fucking attitude. That's why a lot of social media comedians are horrible on stage, because you can't go on stage and be like, fuck it, I'm going to let it go. Like, nah, you need to think this through. You can't redo this set.
Right. Yeah. Because in your early days, you started with freestyling and you realized, oh, I better get some jokes in here.
Yeah. You can really freestyle the phone, because you can just delete it.
Right.
Like, ooh, that's not that. Yeah, that didn't sound right.
I always ask comics on here this question, like, what is your worst like bomb or your worst boo story from those early days?
I feel like the worst show I had, it wasn't from the fans standpoint, it was from a comedian. Like, it was like a local dude. It was like a local comedian. I'm young at the time, having confidence, because I'm just thinking, I'm just cool. This ain't got shit to do with comedy. I'm just the shit. You get me in my head. So it's like, I did a show and I performed, and a comedian was kind of like, I would say he was trying to heckle me. He was heckling me. And I didn't know how to handle it, because I'm like, I don't know at the time, like I know you can roast the crowd, but I'm like, do you, when a comedian heckle you, like, I'm trying to perform for the fans. So basically, like, it came down to the comedian heckle me, he talking shit. Then I'm like, I'm roasting him. So we get in the roast session. It's not about, now it's not a show anymore. So it got to the point where I told the comedian, all right, come on stage, let's have a roast session. The comedian, I gave him the mic and I went back and forth with the mic, and we had a roast session. And I just felt like I held my own, but it was like, the worst show I had is because I let somebody control my set. It's like, how did he end up on, like, that would have never happened if I had experience. Like, I'd have roasted him, be like, shut your ass up. You wish you was on stage, and then went back to my set or catering to the crowd. I kind of let him take me out of my set, and it went bad, because I didn't get like, no, it wasn't like, hey, my name is Lewis Bell, and I get to walk off stage. You're just like, the roast session ended, and it's like, I'm off stage. Like, it was stupid.
It's like, all right, bet, I guess. All right, cool.
Yeah. So it felt like a bomb for the crowd, because I didn't cater to the crowd.
Yeah. Were you headlining the show?
No, this was like open mic days.
Open
like,
mic it days.
Like, it was like a showcase in Oakland, and it wasn't nothing big. It was just some local bullshit.
So yeah. Do you still know this comic?
I never forget his name, but you know, because you know, you have those moments, like, you know, certain shit you'll never forget, but you know, that's why I kind of be like, you know, carrying myself a certain way. Like, I told y'all, y'all should have left me the fuck alone. Should have tried to be friends with me.
You wasn't with me shooting in the gym. That's what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you was praying on my downfall.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I remember that day, like, the comedian, he tried to like shit on me. He was an older dude. He'd been doing comedy for years. Yeah. And he was like, yeah, take some notes. And he gave me his comedian card. It's like, yeah, I could put you on one day. And it's like he tried to flex on me that day. And it's like, now look at him, like, I could really put him on. And right. I'm not.
Yeah. I heard you say in a quote that, you know, don't try to compete with each other, try to eat with each other. And that's really stuck with me.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? People like try to compete with each other too much, and it fucks up what they got going on. Mm-hmm. I learned that from, you know, people trying to compete with me, and I'm like, I'm not finna do that, because I know how that gets you. Sometimes you can be above a comedian, and they surpass right over you, and then you look like the dumb motherfucker.
And you legit never know who is going to be who. Like, this guy you're at an open mic with, 6 months in, and 6 years, he may be booking the hottest show in the city. Like, you honestly, you never know.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like that's the part that a lot of social media comedians don't get to experience, because you know, as soon as you start going outside, you already famous, you already popping. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like I carry myself different, because like for the Just for Laughs show, like I worked 8 years for that show. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't get selected to that. Like I'm like, wow, like I'm finally selected. You know, it's not like on no like, oh, what is Just for Laughs? Oh, okay. How much the budget? Okay, I'm gonna do it. Like, no. Like, I'm taking this shit real serious.
Of course. Yeah. And the same thing with like your comedy special. It's like something you were ready for, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. Sometimes comics, like we want to microwave our success. And it's like, I've heard several times on this show, like interviewing over 300 comics. It is, hey, you can be seen too early, but you can't be seen too late. So just focus on getting funny.
That's a good game. I ain't heard that one.
Yeah. That's facts right there too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we actually have a question coming in from Sean Harper here asking, this is a good one about posting stuff online. He's like, what is your opinion on putting material online that you're not ready to retire? So like, I guess posting your stand-up online, what's your opinion on that? For someone, for like a newer comic is what it's sounding like here.
That's a great question, because that's a great question, because I had to figure that out for myself. I feel like if you got the joke polished already, I feel like you should release it, because if you don't have like a comedy special coming up and you're trying to get exposure, you got to put yourself out there, because nowadays people are not just grabbing, like, you know, like back in the day, you used to like work material up and then be like, one day I'm gonna get on Def Comedy Jam, or I'm gonna say this a Comic View or HBO special. It's not happening like that no more. Like, if you got a joke that's polished, put it on YouTube, and the fans might discover you, and then that might get you to a platform where it's like, hey, this person's funny, let's put them on this show. So I recommend nobody don't hold no material unless you got a strategic plan, like, I'm working on this set for Netflix. I'm working for, you know.
Yeah, and it's, I would say, post something you can be proud of, though. Like, something you would want people to see, that you're not looking back in 2 years and you're like, oh, man, I was shooting that on an Android at an open mic in front of 4 people. It's like, I don't know if I want that out there type deal.
Yeah, but
maybe. That's my opinion.
But at the same time, you can post that, and then If you upload it yourself, you can always be able to take it down.
That's true. That is true. Yeah.
Then, say if you get popping, you want to show people your growth. So you can be like, all right, I got this clip for you. When I was at an open mic in front of 4 people and I worked at this joke, you want to do the now and later. You want your people to see you struggle. So when you get to the next level, they appreciate, like, no, I've been supporting you, you know.
That's true, actually. Yeah. That I need to make some of my old YouTube videos unprivate now, I guess. Now I gotta stop hiding that stuff.
Yeah. I had to make a lot of stuff private when I posted it, because I'm like, ooh, I'm not on that level no more. Like,
oh yeah. You know? Oh yeah. He followed up here with about live shows, actually, saying, say this one's in a different, I'm in the weird space where I'm hosting frequently and featuring probably a little prematurely. So I was just wondering, A, if I should hold off on emailing bookers in search of feature work, and B, is it even worth contacting out of town clubs for host work?
Is it worth contacting comedy clubs to host out of town? I would say, personally, for me, I would say just get your own night wherever you at and host that night consistently and do however much time you want to do, and then film it. And then, you know, if you film me and you got certain shows that was good, you put it out there, and then the comedy clubs will reach out to you and book you.
Boom. Yeah, and you're honing that skill as well. You're honing that hosting skill, because like he's saying, with featuring prematurely, it is like you don't want to go on the road and feature for a club and not do well, because that spreads, you know, like you only get one first impression. So I would say Great advice. Yeah. Hone the skill locally. Host. That, I mean, you learn so much from hosting. Like, my comedy grew exponentially when I started hosting my own shows.
Yes. Yes. And then, yeah, you can't never fail in your city because your city scene, you start from the bottom.
Ooh.
You know, you can fail in somebody else's city because, like you said, that's your first impression. You know, your city, you can take L's in front of your town.
Yeah. Did you host a lot of shows in Oakland?
Yeah, yes. I was hosting a comedy show for about 2 to 3 years. I was hosting a big show with me and Mr. Fab. We was calling it the Dope Air Comedy Show. And we was doing it once a month, and we was bringing big acts. We brought Tony Roberts. We brought Michael Blackston, Red Grant. Who else we bring? We brought Joe Torre. We brought a good amount of people. We was doing it every month, and the whole city was coming out because I was popping with the with my skits and my sketches and my stand-up comedy. And Mr. Fab is a Bay Area legend, so it's like the collab was making it like popping.
That's dope. Oh, yes. That's dope.
But a lot of industry comedians knew me through Oakland. They didn't know me through Hollywood. So by the time I got to Hollywood, they like, hey, man, like I had a good first impression with these people. So when I was in Hollywood, they like, oh, this guy, he's like, he do his thing up in the Bay Area.
Yeah, you're probably the plug in the Bay Area, it sounds like.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, not like burner. I mean, like the plug.
Oh, yeah, burner on a whole other level. You know what I'm saying? But for comedy, I am the burner of comedy.
Yeah. What for a comic wanting to start their own show, what kind of tips do you have?
To start throwing a show, like something they're doing like weekly or monthly.
Yeah, anything. Yeah, because if they're like, if Sean's here and this is like, oh, maybe I will start my own show. Like, where should he start, promote it, things like that?
I feel like you should always start a comedy show somewhere you got a good relationship with some business. So if you got like restaurants, it's always a good place to, you know, do shows because, you know, a comedy club and a restaurant is the same thing. You know, comedy clubs rely on their drinks and in the bar, you know, like they food and they need comedy. So it's like, if you can start at a restaurant or any open mic night that's, you know, whereas you go to open mic night and be like, can I have my own night? And they give you a night and just keep building it from ground up and promoting it through people you personally know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I feel like people will be looking for stuff that's already around them.
Yeah, how would you promote your shows?
I will promote my shows through, of course, social media, but always have flyers. Like, I feel like footwork is still, that shit still matters. Like, having flyers, placing on people's cars, passing it to people, having business cards. And, you know, if you ain't famous or nothing, give out your number. Just, hey, what's your number? I'll text you that. You know, let anybody have your number. Just get the word out there. So, and let people know every Friday. You got to have a consistent day. You got to be like every Friday, every Wednesday, something where it stick, where people get bored and be like, I'm not doing nothing. Let me just go pull up on John on Wednesday because he do his shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And actually, there's a John in this group who does host a Wednesday show. That's pretty funny.
Wow. Salute to John, then. That's dope.
Yeah. He actually asked a question about social media, but I do want to tag up. Hosting is a skill set within itself. Do you have any hosting tips for comics?
Hosting tips. A good tip is you always gotta freestyle. I feel like with hosting, your set and jokes, all that don't really work a lot. It works once you get once you address the room, get the energy up, you know, freestyle a little bit, just get comfortable up there because the host always got to break the ice for the next comedians. Like, if you're a host, you can't be selfish. You gotta host for the next comedian coming out, you know. You gotta be for the people. So that's a tip I will always, you know, tell a host, you know, host for that night, host for that room, you know.
Yeah, that's almost what I enjoy about hosting is like, the pressure is off to really kill. It's literally like setting a fun vibe, and then the comedy will come from the vibe, but it's not like about your setup punch. It is more like setting a good vibe for the room.
Yeah. And it's always way to find material you would write on. It's like, that's the way to practice without practicing it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, that's the way to practice without going into an open mic, you know, or another person's room. It's like, let me say this at my show while I'm hosting. And if it work, I'm going to continue on writing and developing that bit. But if it don't work, he can be like, I'm just fucking with you. All right, I'm bringing up your next comedian. <You're>
Exactly. We're just having fun, right, everyone?
Yeah. I ain't nobody. The next funny guy
is exactly. Yeah, man. Yeah, it definitely helps you be more conversational and natural on stage.
Yeah.
And this one, shifting in back into social media, this is from John Chappelle asking, what would you say is the best social media platform to focus on? I'm pushing Instagram and use Twitter for just putting jokes out. How do you grow your following?
I would say for stand-up comedy, I would say Instagram and Facebook. And I would kind of say Facebook before Instagram, because Facebook got a more mature audience. And those are the type of people, like stand-up comedy, it's an age limit. You know, you got to be at least 18 and up or 21 and up. So Facebook got that crowd where it's in between 25 to 55. And that's the audience a comedian wants, because you want people to actually pay to see you live.
Yes.
You know, so I would say Facebook first and then Instagram second.
Yeah. And are you heavy on Facebook, or did you find momentum? Like, is Instagram your main lane? It's kind of like, it's almost like picking one and doing good at one before you try to disperse all your energy. And I'm not good at any, so that's where my energy is. I'm so focused on this podcast and this Facebook group and the YouTube that, like, I'm really not active on anything else but those three things.
But those are strong audience, like YouTube. Yeah. Those are diehard people. You know what I'm saying? Facebook, that's a good audience. So, and podcasts. So, you know, that is a lane where you don't have to. Once you got to just find one social media platform, and then they will follow you on all of them. Mm-hmm. But I would say the one for me, it was Instagram. Because I was doing the Instagram skits before Instagram got oversaturated with the skits. So, like, I was doing the Instagram skits when it was 15 seconds.
Ooh, OG. Yeah,
I did it with the 15 seconds. So the algorithm and all that, it was different. It was easier to get more traction at that time. But I was so heavy on Instagram, doing the skits on Instagram, I slept on YouTube and Facebook. And what woke me up was I got hacked. I got my Instagram hacked on Instagram. So I had like 80,000 followers and I lost my page. And I probably had like 3,000 followers on Facebook, probably had like 10,000 subscribers. And I'm like, if I get hacked again, I need all of my social media platforms to be popping. So if I get hacked, I can hit them on Facebook like, hey, I got hacked on Instagram. That's why you can't find me. So
exactly.
That's what made me build up everything. So for all the comedians out there watching this, I would recommend, if you find you gotta be strong on all of them, because you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket and then, you know, your basket get took and then it's like you ain't got no more fruit.
Yep, exactly. And what are you going to do? It's like, it's gone. It's an app, you know? It's like, what are you going to show for it? You got a screenshot of what it used to be?
Yeah. And it just looks so lame to be like, hack that 80,000 on your bio. It's just like, you got to chalk it up. It's not there. Like,
yep, exactly. Yep. Yeah.
If it wasn't for stand-up comedy, I think I would have died then. Like, you know. Like,
exactly. It all comes back, man.
I was doing monthly shows. People knew where to find me. So it's like, my Instagram page was gone, but it's like, I was so out there with stand-up comedy and doing so much stuff where it was easy to find. Like,
it's that stand-up. Like, you, I mean, even Kevin Hart is like, everything else I'm doing, I'm still a stand-up first. Like, it's the foundation, man. It's the rock of it all.
Yeah. I feel like it's that thing where, you know, parents always say, like, you know, you don't know how it feels to be a parent until you become one. I kind of feel like that with stand-up comedy. Like, that's like my first kid. Like, you feel me? Like, I don't give a fuck if I have 20 kids. Like, this is my kid.
Yes, bro. For sure, man. It's so beautiful, man. And a part of being a stand-up, though, is also, like, that business side, which you seem to have found a nice... You seem to have good business instincts in this game as well, because it is show and business. So what is that business hustle of the comedy? We hear about your local upping and the shows and producing your own shows and all that, but like on the business side, how can comics make money in this game, man?
I feel like for me personally, I learned more from comedy. I learned more from business from being around people that's not in comedy business. Mm-hmm. So like I learned business from my dad, my Marshawn Lynch, Mr. Fab, just so many people that's not like my dad always worked for he's worked a 9-to-5 a job, and he's been a manager. So it's like if you're a manager on a big corporate level, then you know how to manage business. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it ain't no difference if you work in a job, if you rapping, if you an athlete, all of it is business. So I learned more business from people that's not comedians. So I would recommend surround yourself around just businessmen instead of people that's just in your field. Mm. What a lot of comedians, not businessmen. They're comedians.
Exactly. Yeah. What did you learn from these businessmen?
I would say most thing I learned, a businessman would teach you is business first. So I would say the emotions and the feeling like you're entitled to things, those people, like those four people I named, and my father, number one, always say business is so separate, you know? So it's like, cause I'm funnier than this person don't mean I'm supposed to get more money than this person. Or because I've been doing it longer than this person mean that I'm supposed to come out last. You know what I'm saying? Like stuff like that made me understand the business. Like, okay, like this person is going last because he sold the most tickets. He's not funnier than me. You know what I'm saying? Mr. Fab was the first person to tell me you only got one first impression. You know, so it just things like that. Marshawn Lynch was the person that told me, if you don't know something, find people that know it. You don't have to be you're not supposed to be the smartest motherfucker in your camp. You know what I'm saying? Like if you're afraid that you don't know what this word means, find somebody that know what that word means, you know, and that's business, and, you know, and being a comedians always want to make a joke out of things to not look stupid or to make it look like they know everything and they're cool. And it's like the business ain't got shit to do with being funny and being cool. Mm. And that's what I learned.
Yeah. Yeah. And that entitlement is so huge because we can look at someone on TV and be like, but why not me? But that's out of your control. Like, you know, focus on what you can control.
Yeah. And then I had no option being business savvy because it ain't no comedy club where I'm from. So, you know, to get a venue and to you know, count, get the set up the chairs and pay for cameramen and all. You start doing so much stuff. I became a businessman and I wasn't even thinking I was doing that much business. Mm-hmm. You know, until I damn near went to Hollywood and realized like, all of these is jobs. Like, I know I'm at productions and I'm knowing everybody's job because I done done it. You know, so it's like I filmed myself. I edit my own videos. I set the chairs up. I lighted the comedians when they was on stage. So it's like by the time I got to Hollywood and I'm performing, they got a light at the top of the thing and they just flash and it's a cameraman that just I get off the stage and be like, yeah, I can see the footage. And I'm just like, shit, I know how to do all of this shit. I'm a businessman. I'm not a comedian.
Yes, yes. That's what a comedian is, like a Swiss Army knife. And like, it's good to have those other skills of, can you make your own flyers? Can you edit your own videos? Like, can you email professionally when you are emailing a booker? Like all these skills that aren't on stage but have a huge impact on the stages you end up getting on.
Exactly. Like when MTV reached out to me, I didn't have a manager at the time. So I was talking to MTV myself.
It's awesome.
Like, so I know I'm a businessman. Like, I know I'm a businessman because I can talk to, I can go to Viacom and talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, a lot of comedians can't do that. They just know how to tell a joke. So I'm like, I can be dead ass serious with somebody for an hour and then perform for an hour.
Oh, dude. I mean, that was like when we interviewed Chico Bean, like he was, I mean, he dropped so much game, but he was like so serious. Like he was just, and I'll get the same way. A lot of people don't even know I'm a comic until they see me on stage or like see me on the internet or something, because like I am more serious and I do like just to talk more normally and then, you know, be funny for the money type deal. So, there's a switch, you know?
Yeah. It's like being an athlete, like, you know, yep. Like, you know, they're not dribbling the ball after the game. Like now they got to talk, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
They do a press conference, like, and they got trainers for that. And they go to school for that. Like they prepare you for the NBA. It's not like you just be in the NBA and then you hit a game winner and then a person with a mic just come ask you questions. Like they got coaches and people for that. So comedy don't give you no coaches and all that. So if you ain't coming from no neighborhood that's gamed up and teach you certain things, you're just going to be like, hello. You're just going to be joking all day. Like that's, you're not supposed to be doing that.
Yeah. And all these skills we're talking about, like his advice is like, get around people that do have those skills or listen to interviews of people that have those skills and start to learn. So don't try to like figure it out on your own. Learn from the people that already know it.
Exactly. Like yeah. I watch more interviews than I watch stand-up comedy.
Me too. Yeah, me too.
Like yeah. I sit there and watch The Breakfast Club and Damon Dash and Rick Ross and Kevin Hart and P. Diddy. I listen to like I like how people like to watch stand-up. I like to watch interviews about people like
yes.
So that's why, like, you know, I never met Kevin Hart, you know what I'm saying? But I feel like I already had to talk with Kevin Hart. He just ain't heard my side, but I understood everything he was saying. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. It's like I study that more than comedy because I rely on my natural ability. And I watch comedy is simple. You know, you watch it, you study it, you know, you learn people, you learn stuff, you know, the mannerism, the timing of joke and punchline, but if you got that, you got that. You feel mm-hmm. me? You need to study the business because they gonna hide that. You can't just. You gotta look for it. It ain't just gonna pop up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is this ties into the business. This is Joey Rizzuto asking. I noticed you have a separate social media account for your company. Do too much entertainment. Is there a benefit to separating the two?
Yes, because you want people to know that this is my brand and Lou Do Too Much, my social media. Louis Belt is Louis Belt. That's the comic. Do Too Much Entertainment, that page. I'm the owner of that business, but that's a business page. So that page is not about me. That page is about comedy. That page is about business. So it's real important because I need to separate the two because my page is personal. Do Too Much. That page is a brand.
What is the business? What made you want to start it and what are you doing with it?
The reason I started because I've been having a business for 8 years and didn't know it was a business. With putting together my own shows, presenting myself, presenting other comedians. So I made sure like, okay, let me make it to a business. So Do Too Much Entertainment. That's an LLC. That's a legit business. And it's a comedy brand and it's for music too. Like my character, Sonny Bo, he make music, he rap. So it's like, Sonny Bo is under Do Too Much Entertainment. Like he releases his music through Do Too Much Entertainment. If you look at the bottom of his music on Apple, on Spotify, it's gonna say Do Too Much Entertainment.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, and if you look at Louis Belt comedy shows and all the comedy shows I present with other people, it's Do Too Much Entertainment presents the Young OG Show. You know, so that's why it's real important to separate it. And that's what I'm doing with it. Like, Do Too Much Entertainment, you know, is a, it's a, it ain't no difference from a Def Comedy Jam. Russell Simmons presents it. It's no different from that. It's just got to grow.
Yeah, you seem to be savvy on the merch game as well. And so many comics, I mean, I've been guilty. I have this bit. I'm going to make a shirt about it. I'm about to be a millionaire. And now I have 80 shirts in my closet. You know what I mean? Like, you seem to have been really savvy with the merch game. Like, what kind of tips do you have on actually creating a successful merch?
The merch is real important because as a stand-up comic, you're always touching people. People are gonna want to talk to you at these shows. They want to meet you. So you gotta always have something to sell. So the merch is real important to me because that was the first, that was the most money I made at a period of time in my career because I was under the umbrella of Mr. Fab, and he was creating his dope air store, and he started out the trunk. So he was telling me, like, why you walk around here famous and you ain't got nothing to sell? You know, so like he gave me that tip, and then he was like, always have something to sell. So I printed up my first shirts, and one day I just always walked around my shirts, and I went to Wingstop one day and I sold $400 worth of shirts going to Wingstop. And it changed my life. I'm like, I'm never not walking around with no merch, ever. You know, so it's like, that's been heavy on me because I was making more merch with money. I was making more money with merch than my actual show.
So, oh, yeah. I've been on tour where that's, if I didn't have merch, I wouldn't have come out in positive, you know?
Exactly. So that's why that's always mandatory for me.
Are you printing your own merch or do you have like a plug for that?
I got a plug for that. Mm-hmm. I wish I knew how to do that. That's coming soon. If you're a graphic designer and know how to print up your own shit, tap in with me.
Yes. And for those of you in the Hot Breathverse, the plug is the connect. If anyone didn't know, that is the person who would supply the printing service. I'm sorry. Yeah. I got to translate sometimes. I've started comedy in Atlanta. I was never the cool kid in the scene, so I just went wherever I could. So I'm doing like strip clubs at 1 a.m. not even thinking like I should be getting robbed. I never got robbed though. Like it all ended up well, but I did some like shady spots just because that's where I could get stage time because some shows, you know, you got to be the cool kid or it's like, do you have a beard and a flannel shirt? No. Well, then you're not ironic enough for this show.
But see, that's why you didn't get robbed.
Yeah.
Because that I feel like that's the reason why it'd be dangerous for me because I'm coming in there with the perception I'm the cool kid.
Right. So, you
know,
right.
It's like, yeah, they, you know, it's easier for you. You know, that's why gentrification has happened. Like, these people that's moving to these neighborhoods, they're not getting robbed because they don't look like a threat. But if I walk around a hood that I'm not from, I look like, what you doing? You know what I'm saying? Like I'm disrespecting their hood. So.
Yeah, yeah. So, oh, dude, this has been awesome. I mean, just to kind of land the plane here, do you have any like closing advice for comics or any like favorite advice you've gotten? I know you've been able to work with Mike Epps, who you met when you were 10 years old, and now you've gotten to actually work with him. And even this special was a part of the project with him. Like, I mean, is there any advice or game
this
you picked
project
up?
This project had nothing to do with him.
Oh, but he was one of the comics on it.
No, I'm on my own special.
Oh, but I mean the Boogie Cousins Presents. He's presented a bunch of different, like Gary Owen, Carlos Miller, like it's a bunch of different, right?
Yeah, no, DeMarcus Cousin, Boogie Comedy Slam presented those comedians. Mike Epps is just one of those comedians.
One of those comedians. Yeah. I'm just saying it's cool to be like, you're having a special alongside with like Mike Epps doing one is what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah, that's huge. Like some advice I would give a comedian. Yeah, it's mandatory. Like, it sounds so like, you know, cliche, but it's like you really got to find your own lane. And it's like, you know, as a comedian, you get inspired by certain comedians or certain things. And it's like, that's not going to help you. You got to help yourself. Like, comedy, unfortunately, is really like a self-made job. It's like you up there alone, and I'm not saying it's going, you're going to go in the game alone, but kind of so, like, you might want to collab with people. Work with people that's next to you. Stop worrying about the people that's ahead of you. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, because you at the open mic don't mean you doing bad. Because you you got a special Amazon don't mean you less of a comedian because they things on Netflix. And, you know, and because you got a special Netflix don't mean you're going to be rich forever. You know, like, it just, it's levels to comedy. And always appreciate the level you on and always reach, always, you know, try to get to the next level. But, you know, take it step by step.
Yes, step by step. And I loved your mentality, even in hearing your interview on Comedy Hype, about, like, I did a shorter special because I want to put out a dope 20 as opposed to, like, a mediocre 45. Like, I want my first special to be something people are like, you first impression, again, like you said, you want that first impression to hit them in the face and not be like, well, the first 20 was cool, but then he kind of rambled. You know, that's great self-awareness that a lot of comics' egos would normally get in the way of. So I commend you for that mindset, man. That's what's going to go far.
I appreciate it. And that's just business. You know, yeah. I know what I'm capable of. I know how to do 45 minutes. You know what I'm saying? But I got 45 minutes for certain cities. I'm catering to the whole world.
Yeah, man. So savvy. Yeah, and when you booked your bigger names on your shows, this one's coming in at the buzzer. How would you book a bigger name with a lower budget?
How would I book a bigger name for a lower budget? Take a pay cut. You have to sacrifice some money for yourself and others to make that headliner, you know, to reach his budget. And if you don't have a budget where you know you can't get a headlining comedian, you don't got the money, relationships, you know, if you got a good relationship with people, sometimes people do stuff for free and a favor for you because they believe in you. And that's something that is priceless. That's when your talent kick in, you know. Talent can get you things that money can't buy, you know. So sometimes, you know, you performing at a certain night, you do so good, and you know, sometimes you ask that favor, it can come through for you.
Boom, boom. Well, man, we appreciate you coming through here. It's so exciting to catch you at this point in your career, man. And I'm excited to have you back on here when you're even at another level, and we're all just going to keep growing together here. So
now this show is dope. I've never been on a show like this. This is like really like for comedy. Like, this is a stand-up comedy show
for sure. And
this is dope. Nobody, I done a lot of stuff, nobody's doing what you're doing, so I salute you for that.
Dang.
And you own it, something you don't even need nobody to do what you're doing. That's another tip that comedians gotta learn. Find something you can do no matter what, and that's what you're doing. You're gonna do this until you're dead and gone. You can keep doing it.
My man. Well, I appreciate you saying that, dude. That makes my heart smile. Yeah, we're like Rap Radar for comedy here.
Yeah, this is very inspiring for sure.
Wow. Well, the last thing we comics do on here, would you mind looking to the camera, saying your name and why comics should listen to Hot Breath?
Oh, man, it's your boy Lewis Belt. And if you're a comedian, you need to listen to Hot Breath because you need to get this game. You need to get this knowledge that you can't get in college. You know what I'm saying? Tune in. Tap in.
Boom. My man. And where can we tap into your special? Please promote everything you have going on. The Hot Breathverse, we want to support you.
Okay, so off the dribble, you can follow me on social media at Lou Do Too Much on all platforms. Make sure you tune in to my comedy special. It's Boogie Comedy Slam Rookie of the Year on Amazon Prime. It's out right now. 20 minutes short, short and sweet. And it's only $5 to buy. So make sure you buy, support it, and leave a review. Put a comment on Amazon Prime and leave a review and tell me what you think.
My man. Yes. And everyone watching this, or if you're watching this on YouTube later, listening to this on the podcast, These Q&As we do exclusively in our Facebook group. So if you want to get involved in that, go into the link in the show description. You'll see a link to join, along with the links to all of the projects Lewis has going on with his social media and this special. I watched it before the interview. It is well worth your money. This is, without a doubt, one of comedy's future stars. So we're so excited to have him on here. So show him the support that you guys show Hot Breath. And Lewis Belt, it's been a privilege, my friend. Thanks for coming on Hot Breath.
Oh, man, it's an honor. We're going to do it again.
My man. All right, Hot Breathverse. We'll see you all next right, time. Hot Breath. This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.